Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
All right, we are back with another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today we have Levi Lasek with us. This is going to be a unique episode because we are talking not mostly about generating leads, the marketing side of real estate. Real estate, you know, it always starts with finding whatever you're looking for, finding capital investors, finding off-market deals, finding new tenants. It always starts at the front end with marketing, and that's what Levi is here to talk about. So Levi, thank you very much for hopping on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Gabe. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I told you before we got on here, we like to start with stories. We like to hear how people got to where they are today. I'm sure you got a good one. So why don't you take us back to the beginning? How'd you get started on this journey for passive prospecting?
Oh man, the beginning. Let's see. What's funny is, I used to sell gym memberships at Bally Total Fitness. That was my introduction into sales back around 2001. And I had actually sold memberships with a guy named Michael Reese. So a lot of real estate agents are probably familiar with that name. And Michael Reese got licensed in 2002 and left the gym membership world to get into real estate and wanted me to be a real estate agent with him. And the thing is I never wanted to be a real estate agent. I was like, no, they work too hard, too much cold calling and door knocking and shaking hands and kissing babies. So, I avoided that. We remained friends over the last 20 years. I went my separate ways, but I had gotten out of the military. Whenever I first met him and started selling gym memberships, I was still in the reserves though. And then I ended up getting licensed in 2004. So it took 2 years for him to talk me into it, but I did get licensed in 2004, but literally a week later, I got a call and they said, hey, you are getting deployed in 4 days, go home, pack your bags, say your goodbyes. And that was it. I was gone for 18 months. So, and I spent a year of that over in Iraq.
Wow. I didn't know that it was such a short notice when you got deployed. 4 days. That's like,
well, I mean,
Christ, you think, give me a second.
Hey, I tell you what, that a lot of people forget, right? You think about 9/11 and, 2001, 2002, 2003. I mean, if you were in the military at that time, especially the reserves, I mean, everybody got deployed, right? I mean, they sent over a million reservists went through deployment. Yeah. I mean, people don't think about that because they're not really caught up in that world, especially now. I mean, so, it's just one of those things, but yeah, literally like 4 days, that was it. So I was gone for 18 months, came back, and I realized over the 18 months, I still didn't want to be a real estate agent. So
nothing's changed.
Yeah. My license expired while I was gone, but I never used it, came back. I sold some cell phones, did very well at that. That got me recruited into a pharmaceutical company, did really well there. And then from there, I went into financial services and I got contracts with all of Dallas ISD, started working with teachers on their retirement planning, built that up over the last 5 years. I thought that was going to be my lifelong career. It was very lucrative. I was working a teacher schedule, but had five times the teacher's income. And so I was traveling the world during summers and Christmas breaks. I went to 24 countries inside of 3 years. And never worked a weekend, and I was just living life and I was building up residual income, right? Because I was getting, paid percentages off of their retirement accounts. So, that was pretty cool, pretty lucrative until April of 2020, whenever the world shut down. the world shut down and travel shut down, school shut down. And whenever I used to meet all my teachers on campus. And when all the schools shut down, nobody understood Zoom at that time, especially teachers. They were all looking, nobody was looking to invest. They were looking at ways to take out money. And so it was one of those times where I just said, man, I don't know when this stuff is going to end. Who knew at that time? When everything was going to open back up. And I'm in Texas, which really Texas opened a lot sooner than most places, but still schools didn't really come back right away. And after a few months, I just thought, man, I'm going to have to pivot. I'm going to make a change and pivot. But I was 41 years old and I was going, how do I start over without starting over? That was my big question because I was not looking forward to starting over again, really. And Michael Reese, you know, coming back to me saying, hey, man, now's the best time to get in real estate, which over the summer of 2020, it was like one of the only industries other than toilet paper that was starting to grow, you know, and do really well. And so I saw that and I said, okay, well, if I'm going to pivot, you know, this would be the time to do that. However, I still don't want to be a real estate agent. You know, at 41, I'd been through all of the grunt work, you know, and so cold calling and door knocking. And this was also a time that actually shaking hands and kissing babies was still a little weird to most people. Right. And so it's not like I was just going to go out and do that and go to there was not a lot of networking events or anything like that. And so I thought, well, I want to attract business. You know, that was the main thing, but how? And I figured, well, probably going to be social media, but which platform? I didn't want to, you know, spread myself thin across five platforms, which I think is a big mistake. A lot of people, when you get into a new industry, whatever it is, especially real estate, somebody will tell you, hey, you got to be everywhere, right? You got to be on every platform. Go ahead and open up Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. And then you end up putting 20% effort across five different platforms and never truly understand one and probably never end up generating business from one of them. So for me, I thought, man, if I'm going to attract business, it's probably going to be through social media, but I want to pick one platform because I don't want to spread myself thin. And so Facebook, Instagram, TikTok were the first things I looked at because that's what everybody told me to do. And I was like, all right, but none of them really set well with me and my personality. So YouTube was the last choice. But what I soon discovered was that YouTube was a search engine, not a social media platform. Mm-hmm. And that was a little bit, that was more impactful to me because I think what I didn't really sit well on the other platforms is what I noticed was a lot of agents out there that were very well seasoned, 5, 10, 15, 20 years in the business, telling their stories, providing education from their experience, you know, doing all these things that I didn't have the experience doing that. I hadn't done transactions. And also, I mean, I could read about an FHA loan and regurgitate that on a 60-second reel, but it didn't really feel authentic to me. So that's probably why I didn't go in that direction. But whenever I started to figure out YouTube's a search engine, and then I started to, as I researched more, I was like, well, people are searching for information on suburbs and neighborhoods and cities and things like that. And I thought, well, shoot, I've been in Dallas for 20 plus years. I know the suburbs. I know the neighborhoods. I know things to do, places to go, anything like that. And I thought I could talk about that all day long. So instead of trying to educate people on real estate, I started educating them on the neighborhoods, on the suburbs, okay, on the areas, you know, and just basically providing 100% value up front at no charge. And what I realized as I started to get calls was I was capturing people in the research phase before they ever decided to hire a real estate agent or a mortgage broker, you know? And so, you know, what happened was, is the videos allowed them to develop a relationship with me so that whenever they called me, they already knew me, liked me, and trusted me, and they had already made the decision that they wanted to work with me. And so not a single person ever called me and said, hey, how long have you been in the business? What are your production levels? Are you a top producer? What brokerage are you at? You know, nothing like that, because I was able to talk about what I knew, which is the areas I lived in, and they perceived the value there and felt like I was a 20-year agent. And the reality was, well, I've just lived in the area for 20 years. And so I was able to pass on the information that they're actually looking for, because what I also realized is nobody ever calls us and says, hey, can you tell me about an FHA loan? You know, hey, can you tell me about a VA loan? Hey, can you tell me where I can get money for a down payment? They don't think about that stuff. And they usually don't until they actually get to the mortgage process or something like that. And so, and if we tie this into investing, or like you mentioned, looking for ways to find investors or raise money or capital or find deals. You know, this is a way, I believe, in the beginning, you will have to pound the pavement a little bit, or you have the choice like me. Now, I was just patient. I made content and just waited, you know, so I waited for the calls to come in. Now, the thing is that if you're on the investment side, you're probably going to need to do some deals and document that process, because that's how you're going to attract your investors, your buyers, your sellers, and even possibly tenants. Because if you start documenting that process, then and putting that content out there in the beginning, maybe you do have to pound the pavement, build an email list, you know, do some networking to get those initial deals funded. But if you document all that while you do that and put that somewhere on YouTube, then this is what we call passive prospecting. And passive prospecting, you allow the videos to start doing the heavy lifting for you so that when you're sleeping or you're out on weekends or you're on vacation or you're with your family, you know, you don't feel guilty that you're not working because you know you've got videos out there working for you. And what's going to happen is investors will see you documenting your process, see you working deals, see you walking properties, see you underwriting, you know, all those types of things that you're doing. And they're going to say, oh, this guy or girl knows what they're doing. So I like this person. I'm going to watch more of their content. And then they're probably going to reach out and say, hey, I'm an investor. Put me on your list. And it's like, cool, I got you. And so you'll start building up your list that way. And then you might have sellers that start watching your content and like, well, shoot, I've been holding on to this 20 unit apartment complex for 20 years. I'm tired. I'm ready to let it go. I want to get some option money. I've been watching this guy's YouTube. I'm going to call them and see if they want to buy it, you know? And so that's the concept behind passive prospecting, to where you let the video do the work for you. And if you're doing these types of things, everybody in the business is making 100 pieces of content per day. It's just your decision whether or not you document that. And it's as simple as using your iPhone and either with your hand or even getting a little 1 foot selfie stick just to give yourself a little depth. And all you got to do is talk people through what you're doing. And that adds up. It's very simple. You know, and if you're doing a lot of this stuff on your own, which, you know, we're in a lonely business sometimes, it gives you somebody to talk to, right? As the camera. So, you know, if you're out there on your own walking a property, you know, flip the camera on and record that and say, here, I'm walking a property today. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. This is what I would do differently. This is how it would improve this project. And you document that process. And the cool thing is once you're done, then guess what? Then you get to make a complete overview video, you know, and you'll have that footage from the very start. And you'll be able to piece all that documentation together into a 5 or 10 or 15 minute video that will tell the complete story. And then that's going to work for you better than anything. But people will see you going through the process, seeing you boots on the ground, seeing you working deals, you know, seeing you out there. And that's what builds trust and credibility and the relationship with them. And that's why they'll want to reach out to you. So it's a great opportunity to attract people wanting to get rid of their properties, people that want to buy properties, you know, even tenants. People will call you and say, hey, man, I saw that new unit you just finished. I would love to live there. You know, once you finish a place too, go tour it, go show them everything you've done, all the improvements, everything. You'll get people reaching out saying, I want to live there. So it's a great opportunity. Yeah. I mean, just to passively prospect. And that's the power of it. And for us, what it has turned into is we've had the channel for 2 years now. The very first year of the channel, we closed $33.5 million, which is right over $1 million in commissions. And that was 64 transactions. So we closed 64 deals in the first year of the channel. Last year in 2022, the second year, we closed 154 transactions, right at $86.2 million. And that's about $2.3 million in commissions. So as an agent, that was very lucrative. And I never cold called. I never door knocked. I didn't even go to networking events. And the thing is that what's funny is I went to a multifamily meetup last night. And because now I'm starting my educational process on multifamily. And that's something we're going to move into this year. So I went to a meetup last night, and it was funny. It's like one person said from across the room, you know, we were all in this circle, like introducing everybody. And one guy goes, hey, he goes, I know you. You got that YouTube channel, right? You know, about Dallas.
Hell yeah, I do.
Yeah. And then another person goes, oh yeah, I thought I recognized you. I follow your channel as well. And then all of a sudden that created a buzz within that room. You know, there's about 30 people. It was a smaller meetup, but because of those two people's confirmation of me, then all of a sudden everybody in the room was interested, right? And so the people that got the money, there's people in there that specialize in underwriting, there's people that specialize in finding deals. Guess who all they came up to as soon as we broke, you know, they're like, oh, so, and everybody's like, oh, you got a YouTube channel, you know? And so, and everybody wanted to subscribe and look at it and check it out. And so now they're intrigued by that, but also, you know, that they're going to feel a lot more comfortable doing business with me Because first of all, I'm out there, you know, I'm showing them what I'm doing every single day. And they like that, you know?
Yep, man, there is so much to dive into there. I couldn't say it better. And, it's funny cause I actually started this podcast, not with the intention of prospecting. I just started it to meet other investors. 2020, yep. You know, the COVID happened, couldn't go out there and meet people. And so I started a podcast to try to talk to them. But the biggest, you know, I love meeting new investors. I love having the conversations, but I had no idea how much it would help me when it comes to raising capital. And then how much credibility it gives you when you're talking to sellers who are looking to sell properties. When I send an email and it has, you know, the Real Estate Investing Club podcast, they can click through to it, see all my content. Yep. They trust me more than if I were just some Joe Blow off the street looking to buy their self-storage facility.
Yep.
So I love everything you said. I couldn't accentuate it enough. It is absolutely true. And I've seen it myself. I like that you're on YouTube. It sounds like you went through a process to decide on YouTube. YouTube was the one that you chose. The search engine was kind of what you were looking for. You know, I put my podcast episodes, I'm predominantly a podcast, but I do put the episodes on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a lot of traction on the YouTube side, but I know that's because of the way YouTube works. So I want to go a little bit into the weeds for just a second and ask how, when it comes to creating a good channel, YouTube, we're going to just talk about YouTube here. What are the things that you recommend people to do when they just get started?
Yeah. I mean, devise a plan, a business plan. I say, if you treat YouTube like a hobby, it'll pay you like a hobby. If you treat it like a business, it'll pay you like a business. And so understanding the back end, the systems, the processes, the analytics, the SEO, all of that matters. YouTube is the second largest search engine behind Google, and Google owns YouTube. So their search goes hand in hand. And you've all Googled something these days. And guess what is popping up more and more and more is YouTube videos on the homepage. So we've got YouTube videos on the front page of Google, which is very difficult to rank on, but because they want to promote video, because they know people make more buying decisions based off of video. And they say in 2023, that number is 84% of most people make buying decisions based off of video. So they're going to have to see some sort of video content. And so I actually researched, once I decided YouTube was probably going to be the platform for me, I studied it for about 2 months. And that was just digging in. I bought 8 different YouTube marketing books, and I watched 1,000 videos on YouTube. I watched all these different creators that teach YouTube. So I understood the back end analytics, and I understood it from a producer versus a consumer. And whenever you understand these platforms as a producer, they're very, very powerful, but it also tells you pretty much, you know, what to do. And so I developed a business plan, which I don't think a lot of people do that for a social media platform. Most people I talk to say, well, I just started posting videos, got a little bit of traction. And then I was like, okay, let me try to figure out something, you know? And I think you need to take a little time, not get into, you know, analysis paralysis, but take a month or two, study it, understand it, and understand what are you going to do? How often are you going to, publish videos? What kind of videos are you going to publish? And the great thing about, again, YouTube and Google tell you what's highly searched. And so therefore, if it's around investments, it's very simple to find the keywords around multifamily or apartments or storage or whatever the case is that you want to specialize in or focus on. People are out there searching very specific information on that. So all you got to do is find it and then make videos about that content. And people are going to find you a lot sooner rather than later. And it's really kind of the same with podcast. You know, if, you know, most people start a podcast. I'm not sure if you've done this, but if you study podcasts, you'll learn that they are a search engine in themselves. Yep. And so your descriptions, your metadata, you know, how you word the description on each episode, keywords, all of that matters in the fact that when people search, you know, because they may not know, they may just type in investing or multifamily investment or real estate investing or things like that, which is great that it's in the name of your podcast, because that's really a key word, right? Real estate investing. So things like that, you want to understand SEO, search engine optimization, is really tied to those key words and key phrases that people type in. And you want to think in terms of your audience, you know, what are they typing in? don't type in things that you want to, that you think, just let the search results tell you and word it to where somebody would type that in a search bar. And that's going to give you a lot of opportunity to get your content found sooner rather than later. And so each one of your episodes that you publish on YouTube as a podcast needs to be, you know, optimized, and it needs to be key. You know, everything in there is very, very important. If there's a blank when you upload in YouTube, which it gives you all those options, fill it in, because they have that there for a reason. But there's also, you know, chapters and descriptions and tags and hashtags and location and all kinds of things that you can key in there. It's just a matter of understanding that.
Yep. Yeah. And I really want to try to take the viewpoint of someone just getting started, because, man, this podcast really has helped my business. And I wish I had started it earlier, because obviously it would be more developed to where it is now. So if you're out there, you're new, start. It doesn't have to be a YouTube channel. It doesn't have to be a podcast. Start some type of content creation. On that note, though, I like that your preferred method of generating content is documenting the process. I feel like that's a really easy way for somebody just getting started to go out there and start creating content. The thing that I ran into a lot of difficulty with when I first started my podcast was just the time it took to get everything put together, to make it look professional, all that stuff. So when it comes to kind of the operations side of and content creation side of your channel, what are some tips and tricks that you can give people to create the content and then to streamline the actual post-production of the episodes?
Yeah, hire somebody. the thing is that we did all of this zero ad spend, all organic, never ran a single ad to the channel, just let the YouTube algorithm pick it up and start to promote it on its own. YouTube has one of the most powerful algorithms out there. It wants to find the viewers of the right videos. You know, they want to put the right videos in front of the right people, because that keeps them on the platform longer. That's their sole goal. Not like Facebook and Instagram that are pay to play, because you could have 5,000 friends on Facebook, and right now the reach is less than 3%, even to your specific following. So that's why if you post something on Facebook and you say, "Mom, didn't you see my lunch yesterday?" And she's like, "No, I didn't," because it won't even go out to your mom sometimes. Yeah, they want you to pay to get it out there. But YouTube wants to find your audience, because they want to keep people on the platform. So the thing is that it's just a matter of hiring somebody. I didn't have a marketing budget, but I had an editing budget, because I knew from the beginning editing was not my strong suit. Plus, I'm not interested in learning editing. And if you're not interested in something, you're going to quit very quickly. And so I didn't want to get discouraged from trying to learn how to edit and do all that stuff myself. Plus, I knew it wasn't the best use of my time. And even though it might have cost me money up front, whenever, and especially if you're not generating business, that could be difficult to do. But believe me, set aside a budget. I mean, if you were down to your last $3,000, I would hire an editor and somebody to post that stuff. And that way, because you could spend $3,000 on marketing in real estate and get nothing and be broke and out of the business in 30 to 60 days, right? I mean, and then that's what happens to a lot of people, is they will have very, very minimal money to spend on marketing, if any, and they'll spend it, and real estate leads are a dime a dozen, and most of the time it converts at less than 1%. We average over 10% conversion from YouTube, but I did that organically. So I just set that budget for an editor. And right now we actually developed an editing agency out of this, because we started to help agents build their own channels and things like that. And they would get stuck on this. They would get stuck on finding an editor, finding somebody to optimize videos and things like that. And so we were able to expand the team that we work with and offer that to other people. But, you can find editors on Fiverr for as little as $20 a video. I mean, it comes with challenges like time zone issues and language issues. And, you get what you pay for, but it's out there. So, you know, and again, a lot of stuff you can edit even just on your iPhone. I still film on an iPhone 11 Pro. So I still do that to this day because it's super easy to just press record and then I can airdrop everything to my computer. And then I pass that on to an editor. So if you keep things pretty smooth and easy, I mean, you could actually probably piece that stuff together even in iMac, but you won't have all the fancy graphics and captions and B-roll and things like that we include in our videos now. But again, you look at anybody's videos in the beginning, they're always pretty crappy. I mean, there's not a lot of people that come out straight from the gun with amazing, unless you're Alex Hormozi or somebody, right? And then
unless you got a huge budget.
Yeah, he comes in with that huge budget. So yeah, I mean, I would look at hiring somebody sooner than later, and you need to hire somebody probably before you're ready. And because when you're ready, then you're already behind.
Yep. Yeah, and I would definitely echo that sentiment. When I got started, I think I did my own editing for the first like 6 months or 3 or 6 months, something like that. And that really drained me. It's hard to do editing. It just takes time. It's not beneficial. But Upwork, if you guys want to get started in creating your own content, you can find good Fiverr is one platform that you mentioned. And then also Upwork is where I found my first VA. So you guys can check that out. Cool. Well, hey, I just took a peek at the clock. We've already run down our time, so we do have to move on. Do appreciate everything that you've shared. But that brings us to the quick question round. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Let's do it. Starts with books or any form of education. Give me two recommendations, one for general life wisdom, one for real estate specific.
Oh, man. Well, our book coming out next month, Passive Prospecting, I would definitely get that. That will help you as a small business owner, regardless, understand the process and how to get started on YouTube. So if you're an investor, you're a mortgage broker, you're an agent, you're a plumber, a financial advisor, it doesn't matter. Passive Prospecting will help you get started on YouTube if that's what you want to do. And general life advice, wow, man. So many good books out there. I mean, I'd probably throw out the Bible first, but you know, if you want a business book, then I don't know, 48 Laws of Power is a pretty good one.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. All of Robert Greene's stuff, man. It's really good. He does a great job of researching his topics. So good recommendations. That moves us to the next question. This is for your younger self. So let's go back to the Levi who was still out there doing sales with the teachers. Go back to him, look him in the eye, give him one piece of advice moving forward.
You better take blockchain, NFTs, crypto. I'm a little out there on crypto right now, but at least blockchain, NFTs, I think those are going to be very relevant in the real estate industry.
Smart contracts. Yeah, for sure.
They're utilitarian, you know, those types of things. I don't regret really anything in my life, and I don't regret this, but if I could change one thing, you know, I was 20 back in the year 2000 and I didn't take the internet seriously.
You know, right.
I mean, if I know now back then, yeah, I mean, I would be probably close to Elon Musk right now, but I grew up in a small country town. My parents were very limited on their mindset. It was always kind of like, you know, do the work yourself, work blue collar, work minimum wage. I mean, that type of mentality. So I didn't take it seriously and for a long time. So, and I don't want to make that mistake now as we move into Web3, because start your educational process now, because you don't want to be the person, the investor or the agent in 2 years is like, okay, maybe I need to take this seriously now, because you'll be way behind.
Yep. Yeah, there is a lot of potential out there. I would put a caveat on that by saying definitely focus in on one. If you're talking about just investments, focus in on one investment, because man, I have lost a pretty penny when it comes to crypto, just because I don't know enough about it. Like you said,
that's why I'm out. I'm not necessarily saying crypto. I'm saying blockchain and NFT, which are more of the utilitarian aspects that will come into play with real estate, because like titles and deeds and those types of things will likely become NFTs, and blockchain, it'll be, you know, stored on the blockchain versus, you know, so that's what I mean. I don't speak to anything as far as investing in crypto.
There you go. All right. That moves us on to the next question. This is strengths. We are all gifted with strengths that we uniquely give this world. So what is your Superman strength?
Transfer of information.
There you go. Communication. Yeah. It is the thing that moves every business forward. Moves us to the next question. This is mentors. None of us are islands. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. So who is one mentor who has contributed significantly to your career today?
Yeah, so many. But I always give credit to my buddy, Michael Reese, just because he got me into sales at selling gym memberships. So that taught me sales. And then he took me to my first Brian Tracy event, which nice. introduced me to self-education, learning by books, CDs. I just remember all of that. That started me on that pathway, which I was oblivious to that as well. When I first saw Brian Tracy speak, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's amazing. and I just had never, I was not in that world. And so, he's always just been a good friend and a mentor. He's not a Grant Cardone or anything like that, but he's pretty well known in the real estate agent world. But, I've had a ton of mentors, but, I say from the beginning, he made a huge impact and still we chat these days.
All right. Well, shout out to Michael. Thank you for helping Levi get to where he is today. And it's funny you say Brian Tracy. He's one of the first guys that I actually really got into when it comes to self-development. Yeah. I had all his CDs, and it's funny that CDs kind of date you these days, but definitely had all of those CDs.
Well, I remember I had a Jetta, a Volkswagen Jetta that had a 6-disc CD changer that was in the trunk, man. Right? You remember if you got kids on this, they're going to be like, what? Yeah. I used to open up the trunk, pull out the 6-disc CD changer and load 6 CDs in there. And that was cool, because a lot of Brian Tracy's programs were 6 CDs. So I was like, I could put all 6 CDs in there. And I was a little driving library, I think is what Zig Ziglar described it as, right? Or no, Earl Nightingale, I think, is the one that termed that as turn your car into a mobile university or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that just stuck with me. And so to this day, people ask me about songs and artists, and I couldn't really tell you any real, I know artists, but I can't tell you songs or know the words, because I'm typically listening to podcasts and Audible books in my car other than music.
Yep. I still have no idea why those manufacturers chose to put the CDs in the trunk. It's like, why do you want to get out of your car to go do that? Yep. But it's all good. Now we have Bluetooth. Thank God. All right. That moves us to the second to last question. This is about tools. Tools form the backbone of every business. I'm going to ask that you try to keep this around YouTube, because generally we get real estate tools. I want to hear your YouTube content creation side of things. So what is one tool you could not live without?
Yeah, the iPhone.
There you go. It's an easy one.
But you do need a good microphone. So, people can excuse a little bit of bad video. But really, the iPhone, you get such good iPhone video content now, but you need a good microphone. You need your audio to be dialed in.
Yep. And it looks like you got a Blue Yeti, right?
Yeah. But I have a little, this is a little Shure MV88 that plugs directly into an iPhone. So
interesting.
It's a directional mic. And people can't see that on the podcast, but they will see it on YouTube. So it plugs right in. It's a directional mic, and that turns your iPhone into a really good documentary filmmaking camera.
Huh, that is pretty cool. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the very last question. You've given us a lot of good things to think about. I'm sure people want to reach out, get in contact with you. What is the best place for them to go and find you?
Yeah, passiveprospecting.com. You can sign up to be notified whenever we release the book, which is pretty cool. We got the foreword written by Ryan Serhant, which is pretty awesome as well. And so, like I said, that's going to be coming out in February or early March, and it will give you the blueprint of getting your business started on YouTube.
Perfect. That is passiveprospecting.com. I'll put that URL in the show notes. So if y'all want to reach out to Levi, go ahead and click a little more in the description. It'll pull down that full description, and in there you can find Levi's URL. Right on. Well, hey, that wraps it up. Thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Gabe.
Absolutely. For everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. So if you guys have any questions whatsoever, reach out to me, Gabe at therealestateinvestingclub.com. Other than that, hope you guys have a great week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at Gabe at therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.